Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, and we are pleased to have you join us tonight. Tonight we continue in a series about feelings. You may have had a sad day or a happy day. However, whatever way you feel, know that God is involved in your feelings as well. But first, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor, any special thought about tonight's topic?
Well, if by that you mean, am I confused? Well, of course I'm confused. I mean, that goes with the territory.
Okay.
Isn't that terrible? Actually, this is a wonderful afternoon for me. We're coming live from beautiful downtown Brenham, Texas. So, you know, this is one of my favorite places to get away to. I mean, just because they're home of Bluebell ice cream, there's no reason that I would come here. But it sure ain't a bad reason to come here either. So it's... any place with this much ice cream in one spot can't be all bad, you have to admit. And the people are marvelous.
Not at all.
Which, by the way, has absolutely nothing to do with confusing. So let's get back to our topic. You know, J.D. Salinger, the gentleman who wrote The Catcher in the Rye, made the statement, "It's funny, all you have to do is say something nobody understands, and they'll do practically anything you want them to do." So in other words, he found getting people confused was actually an advantage, if not a way of controlling folks. Fyodor Dostoevsky also said, "Much unhappiness has come into the world because of bewilderment and things left unsaid." So his look at this confusion was that he just thought it brought terrible unhappiness and grief to people. This really is true. Another writer, Shannon Alder, said, "The most confused you will ever get is when you try to convince your heart and your spirit of something your mind knows is a lie," which could confuse or explain the confusion of many a politician when their minds and their hearts are trying to persuade all of us of things they already know is just simply not true. Finally, I share with Tom Peters from the Thriving on Chaos Management person, said, "If you're not confused, you're not paying attention." And I think sometimes that is how people can begin to feel. You know, I think what we need to realize, as with all things, don't let the world get you down. Don't let it confuse you. Don't let the people who operate at their own little world try to bring you into their own little world and in the process bring you down. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You know him as Savior and Lord. Doesn't mean you won't have times that are stressful, times that are difficult, and, yes, challenging to the point of creating confusion. I mean, we have a truth that we try to follow, and we trust Christ. We, you know, realize that we can believe in him. And here we walk in a world where people believe there are no absolutes. You can't believe in anything. You can't trust anything. You know, I would not want to face any day of the week without my trust and my faith in Christ. That brings peace. That gives me comfort. Jim, where do you stand on that? Would you want to face a day without the relationship you have with Jesus Christ?
I would feel so disarmed. And you know, Pastor, you've taught us that we're never alone. Jesus promised to be with us and never to forsake us. And yet, sometimes, and this is going to be an interesting topic tonight, confusion, because one of the things I can't wait to ask is, does confusion ever mean too many choices and I don't know which path to go on? Because I think many times I get confused because there's, I could do this or I could go that way or I could say this or say that. So I'm just curious if confusion can be just sensory overload.
You know, in some ways I think that is a valid point. You know, we can do a sort of a modern old adage, and we can say, "Confuse say," instead of confusion say, too many choices. the trick to it really is, I mean, we're greatly blessed sometimes when we have so many choices. But what we want to try to find out is, what is it that God would have us to do? You know, give us 100 different wonderful blessings on our plate, or give us 100 things that just seem like, I don't know what the right thing to do is. Maybe they're not all good. Maybe some of them are tough choices you're facing. You know, I recall on occasion a few years ago, my mom was in the hospital. The situation was very serious. The doctor says, there's only one thing you can do. It's going to be very terrible. This is horrible procedure. She may live through it. She may not live through it. You know, they need a decision within an hour. And so, you know, I called my siblings and say, I need to know they're all on the same page, because I already talked to mom and she's put it in my lap. So I need to know where y'all. They were very kind. They said, yes, you know, it is in your lap because we trust you. You're there. So with that, you know, I finally came to the conclusion it would have just brought too much pain with not enough assurances. So here I've got everybody telling me, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You've got to make the decision to have this surgery. And I told the doctor no. And the doctor says, oh, okay, well, we can do some other things. We can look at it a different way. I'm thinking, what, you couldn't have said that before? You left it like, you know, it's one choice only. Act now, you know. Not a good experience. Talking about confusion, because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I'm writing a death sentence here if I don't agree with the doctor. And the doctor turns around and says, oh, okay, you know, that's, I can understand why you'd feel that way. I said, you could? You didn't say that a moment ago.
Mom.
You know.
Mom, move over. I need that bed now.
Yeah, that's the thing. In this world, you may have good choices. You may have tough choices. But sometimes, any way you look at them, they're confusing choices. And so we have to realize that what we always have to do is that, what is it that God would lead us to do? Get into His Word. Know where He stands. You know, one of the things we've touched on every week in this series was Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And the reality is, that is what we're facing every time. We have to decide, is this the thing God wants to have done? And is this the thing God wants to have done now? Once we put it in that perspective, in other words, don't worry about what the world is arguing and yelling, even the professionals, you know, and we do want to be thankful for sound doctors that can give us good opinions and good direction, you know. But the truth is, sometimes they're not certain either, and that's why they're putting it back in your lap to make the tough choice, because it's something you will have to live with. And I submit to you, even in the toughest of moments, let's go back and let's ask God, is this what you want me to do? And is this the time you want me to do it? I think that's the second element that we can easily overlook, because a lot of times the decision may be a good decision, but this may not be the right time for that decision. You know, maybe you're just starting out in life and you're saying, well, my parents had a house, so I'm going to rush out and get a house. But maybe your parents had saved up for a healthy deposit and you're just rushing out there with a line of credit. You can get yourself in trouble. Good decision, maybe the wrong time. So seek people of good wisdom, good counsel. Maybe the parents that helped you understand and create a safe environment for you growing up can help you make the right choices at that point. So things like that come into play. You know, make the right choice, make them at the right time. So those are important things to consider. So tonight, as we go through the scriptures, that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to see, what does the Bible say about this whole issue of confusion? When confusion is in your life, what do you want to do? I submit to you, what you want to do first is know that you're in harmony with the perfect will of God. If you're doing that, this part of the confusion may be external. Another thing that maybe people don't think about, if the confusion is external, by that I mean, it's people in this world looking at you saying you're making wrong choices without the benefit of the investment of your time. In other words, you've looked at something. You're living with something. You're going to have to live through something. And so the decision you make ultimately is something you need to deal with. So, you know, the person who doesn't have buy-in, who has, as the saying would say down here in the South, that if your dog's not in the hunt, you know, you don't have, or a dog's in the fight, you don't really have a lot invested. It's your life. Make sure that you're following what God has to say as you make your decisions. So let's get started in this and do it the right way. Jim, why don't you invite our listeners right after you open us in prayer to know how they can be more involved in the broadcast. But why don't you start us first with prayer?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, we bow our heads, Father, and our hearts in reverence to you. We want to express our love and our adoration to you for uniquely creating us, for saving us, and as you promised, providing for us. Father, we ask you to continue your hedge of protection around this nation. Now more than ever, Father, we need that hedge of protection to insulate us from what's out there, what we know is out there. We especially thank you, Father, for Jesus. He paid our ransom with his blood. I pray, Lord, that you would superintend this program tonight and give Dr. Lyons the exact words you'd have him deliver. We pray further that this program will be a blessing and a comfort to those who hear it. In the name above all names, the name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen.
Amen.
And as Pastor Lyons said, just before we begin, let me remind you that if you would like to ask a question, you can email your question to ask@askthepastornow.com. That's ask@askthepastornow.com. I'll assure you every question will get an answer. Also, if you're listening from the archives, you can call and leave your question for us by dialing 866-275-4472 and choosing option 1. Now, let's begin our study as we continue with what to do when you feel confused.
Well, thank you, Jim. I start with a simple definition for confusion so we're all on the same page. You know, to perplex or bewilder, to make unclear. I like this one, too, to associate by mistake. And then the other one that I thought particularly interesting, to combine without order. And, you know, think about that. We throw a bunch of choices at you, but they have no particular sequence to them. And, you know, it seems like they're bouncing all over the page. No wonder we get confused sometimes. And I think it's interesting that by definition, confusion means to make unclear. So maybe that has the presumption that you're starting off with clarity, that everything seems okay, and then with somebody's help, suddenly it's unclear. Came across a little quotation I thought was interesting, that someday everything will make perfect sense. So for now, laugh at the confusion, smile through the tears, keep reminding yourself that everything happens for a reason. Which takes us back to the verse we mentioned earlier, to everything there is a season and there is a purpose under the heavens. So my strong suggestion for you always is to seek what God would have you to do. That's where we find our greatest commitment. You know, the whole series we've been going through is asking some questions, and it's talking about the feelings that we deal with sometimes. Sometimes it's as though we're only dealing with our emotions. I don't want to minimize our emotions. They're important, they're valuable, they're God-given. But what I want you to understand is, when you're making your toughest choices, you need to be willing to set some of the emotion aside for the moment and say, my strongest emotion, my most profound emotion, is my love and my trust and my faith in God. And if I have a love and commitment, trust and faith in God, there also has to be that commitment to his word. You know, I had the blessing today of spending some time with another pastor. One of the things we discussed briefly was how that it's interesting that, you know, a person, when they're at that moment of desperation and they're ready to call on the Lord in salvation, they recognize, they feel the burden of being what we call lost. At that moment, they are totally willing to believe God's word. They don't question it. You know, God is offering to call out to them and draw them to him and forgive all their sins and heal them and create a whole new creation in them. At that moment, they call out to God by faith and confess their sins and know that, you know, he has saved them and will save them. The irony is, give it a week or two, and You know, they are listening to emotion and other people's, and suddenly saying, well, I don't know if you can believe everything in the Bible. I don't know if you believe that particular verse. You know, what happened when you went from I trust God for salvation, and now suddenly you're the mature Christian 2 weeks in, well, I don't know if I believe all of it. You know, if you don't believe all of it, how can you believe any of it? And I know that's an argument that sometimes people who don't want to commit to Christ and don't necessarily believe the Bible use, well, if you can't believe part of it, why would you believe all of it? Well, guess what? They actually have a valid point. Either you believe the Word of God or you don't. It's His Word. Start with that understanding. You'd be surprised how much easier it is to understand God's Word if you start with the presumption that He's telling us the truth and we can believe it. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So churches, members of this body of Christ, understand, if we're bringing confusion into the body of Christ, if we're warring and fighting amongst ourselves, it's not of God. He says He's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So if we're living in a life that is troubled and troublesome, if we're fighting amongst ourselves, understand it's not of God. That's so very important to get a hold of. Jim, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I was watching last night, as a matter of fact, one of the actors, directors that we've interviewed, David A.R. White, was a star, one of the stars, in a movie, God's Not Dead, and I was watching God's Not Dead 2, first time I had seen it. And I just remember, you know, how they were arguing the Bible is inerrant and absolutely true, and Lee Strobel was one of the witnesses they brought up, and he was talking about he was an atheist. And I just, throughout the program, I kept thinking, if there wasn't absolutes, you know, we're so used to things not being absolute. You know, he didn't exactly kill him. He, you know, they had a fight and it was emotional, you know, and they come up with all kinds of twists and turns. And I'm not just talking about politics,
right?
But nothing is, we've come to understand nothing's really true. Who can you trust? Who can you believe? And I just think when you give your life to Christ, you open the Word of God and you begin to read, assume that it's all accurate and absolute and perfect, no errors, and somehow the Spirit makes it true. You will understand it because the Spirit of God will help you understand, and it is absolutely true, and it makes me feel like there is a firm foundation, because all around us, people don't feel that way. And so I think it's just a wonderful discussion tonight about confusion.
Right.
Without having a relationship, we are confused.
You know, you touched on two things I want to jump in on. One is you mentioned about David R. White. Another gentleman that we have been blessed to interview on more than one occasion was the Cristiano brothers, Dave Cristianto, and,
yes,
of course, Rich Cristiano. And they have a movie that's coming out in Texas just this weekend. It's coming out at different times throughout the country, but predominantly here in the month of August. And it's to Remember the Goal. And so I want to draw that attention to folks because,
yes,
tomorrow, Friday, that is its official release date. So check the theaters in your area. Make certain that you make an effort to be there, to get others to go. Am I getting anything from this? Yes, the blessing of knowing that the Word is going out, that you're getting this opportunity to be a part of something very special, that you're letting secular theaters know that God's programming is something, yes, you're willing to watch, that you can benefit from, that you can support. You know, a lot of times they're thinking, well, there's no money in Christianity, mm-hmm, and I'm not trying to say there is money in Christianity, but I want the movie theaters and I want the entertainment industry to understand that handling a product that honors God rather than disgracing God and shaming God and ridiculing our faith, you know, things that are of honest report are something that we can support. And so the best way to do that is when you have something of integrity that's coming out in the theater, to support it. And this particular weekend, that is happening. So I think that's important. Jim, let's get back to this whole issue of absolutes. You know, there are people today who will tell you there are no absolutes. There's nothing you can trust as fact. On my drive between Houston and Brenham today, I'm going down the highway, and there's two lanes. I'm in the left lane, traveling highway speed. People on the right side, there was something going on up ahead in the right lane, actually the shoulder of the road, which they could get past, but apparently one person panics, so everybody panics, and they suddenly move to the left lane, taking away all my braking distance, because as they were approaching it, they had slowed down to about 30 miles an hour. They move to the left lane, eat up my braking distance. I'm applying brakes as solid as I can, and eventually when the last car cuts off, I'm sounding the horn and sort of bracing for impact all at the same moment. Now, I want you to know something. First of all, I'm here tonight, so you know I'm alive, I'm safe, I'm okay. You know, and in honesty, I had a full 6 feet in front of me, you know, better 6 feet in front of me than 6 feet above me down in the grave. But, you know, at the time I was applying pressure to those brakes, I was very thankful that the person who installed my brakes believed in absolutes, like absolute will work, absolute properly installed, absolutely good product. You know, I didn't want to think when I'm pressing down that button and looking at those bumpers coming closer, I didn't want to think there are no absolutes. We're just going to plow through this puppy. No, you do want absolutes. When you go to the doctor, you want to hear him say, absolutely, you're in good shape. Got a good report here for you. Or if you're hurting, you want to know there's an absolute report that says, here's what we can do to help make it better. And guess what, folks? In this world of doubt and fear and confusion, there is an absolute truth that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And so understand, if you're encountering confusion, you need to start separating yourself from that confusion. Because if God's not the author of it, do you really want that to be what's in your life? I think that should be the basis of backing up and looking for something else. And you might feel like, well, I'm just too frightened to deal with that. Guess what? The same Word of God that we believe and we trust has an answer for that as well. Jim, would you share and comment on 2 Timothy 1:7?
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Pastor, I love this because we are fearful. We're going to say the wrong thing when we are held accountable for something. We have an employer that's overbearing. We have a spirit of fear. And I can't tell you how many times a report was due or I had to make a presentation and I thought, I am petrified. I am petrified. And I'll read this and I'll remember. That's not of God.
There you go.
That is not of God. God gave us the spirit of power and of love and not fear. And so it's a calming effect. And it's not easy, Pastor. I think I speak for most people. When you're in those situations, it's not an automatic to remember the Bible. So it takes practice. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. It takes practice. Like everything else we want to excel at. We practice debate, we practice music, we practice baseball and football and all of the things we practice, and yet we think it's just going to come in by osmosis, that we do not have, it's not an active sport. And not that it's a sport, but it's an activity. It's not just holding the Bible and just putting it up to your head and osmosis takes over. And so I believe, and please correct me if I'm not right here, Pastor, I believe when you make that effort, God gives us that comfort, that feeling that we just can't understand or explain it. How do I explain the connection I feel when I'm reading absolutes in God's Word? How do you explain that?
That's so true. And in fact, again, I remind you, as we did a moment before, if confusion is not of God, then when confusion sets in, when that bickering takes place, understand it's got to be coming from another source. the source either from God or the source from Satan. God said it's not from him. That leaves the devil and his demons, and we want to separate from that. The scripture says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So if we don't have a sound mind, confusion. If we don't have peace, we have fear, and we're feeling powerless, then obviously that's not coming from God. And we want to turn away from it and focus our heart, mind, attention, and confidence back in God. That's so very important. You know, James 3:16 through 18, powerful passage. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Evil work, remember that. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure. Then when he says from above, he's referring to God. So the source of this wisdom is coming from God, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Think about that. What the word is saying there is the fact that, I mean, think that word partiality just leaps off the page for me. It's tied pretty close to hypocrisy. One of the things that always has frustrated me, to be in a situation, you know, you're working hard and you're applying yourself, but there's somebody else who's may not be showing the same effort you are, but they really have a connection with somebody, and so they seem to always win out regardless of how hard you work. That partiality is very frustrating. I mean, we enjoy partiality when we're the receiver of the partiality, but that's not right. It should be partiality to truth, partiality to faith, partiality to honoring God. When you're doing the right thing, that's what prompts the right partiality. Because God knows, and that's why he has this verse. He says, real wisdom comes from a God, and real wisdom is going to be pure, peaceable, gentle, and you're not going to have this partiality taking place. Well, God loves you, but he doesn't love the other person. No, he does love you, and he loves the other saints as well. There is that peace. There's no hypocrisy in that. You look at what's going on in the world, you see the hypocrisy, you see the pain, you see the things that are not of peace, and you understand real quickly why such problems begin to happen. Jim, following on this thought, what's Isaiah 57 have to teach us?
For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed.
Oh, wow.
Boy, that's powerful.
It really is. How do you see that in just the simple workforce, the workplace? How does it apply itself?
So many times, and you've heard me say this, when I'm about to... I used to do this only for those appointments that I was meeting with people, and I was... you know, confident. Oh, this is a laydown. I can handle this. Until God showed me, oh no, you can't. And so now, before I meet with folks or before I have an appointment to present, I ask God to help me. I say, God, I don't want to jump out in front. I don't want to assume that I can do this in my own strength. And as a matter of fact, didn't Jesus tell us you can do nothing in your own strength, and we can't do anything without Jesus Christ. So it is so wonderful to be able to say, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. I'm determined, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. In other words, in the way I understand it, God won't disappoint. You'll never have to say, well, I trusted him and look what it happened, you know. So I think this is just so much reassurance, and I'm thankful for it.
I think that's so very true. And I would like to invite our listeners to come back with us as we go into our second segment. But I think this is a really good spot to take a short break. And again, thank you for being a part of our broadcast tonight, and come back as we move into our second segment in just a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome back to Ask the Pastor Now as we continue our study of what to do when you feel confused. I'm Jim Simmons and I hope you're as ready as I am to get back into God's Word. Pastor, let me start by asking you about what you said earlier. One definition of confused, as you gave, was to associate by mistake. What exactly does that mean and what kind of problem does that create for us?
Well, doing something and failing repeatedly, we can begin to take that to mean that we can't. We confuse and personalize the moment. Maybe it's the athlete who keeps trying something and keeps failing at it. And so rather than approaching it fresh, rather than saying, well, I need a different type of training or I need a different way of looking at this to achieve my goal, they just immediately personalize the moment and say, well, it's just me. I can't do it. And you say, well, I'm not an Olympic athlete. But yes, but, you know, maybe you're trying to have a relationship. Maybe you are single and you long to be married. But every time you start to build a relationship, it just fizzles. It doesn't work. It's the wrong person. Or, you know, you don't seem to have the right words to say. And so it must all be you. Or it must be everybody else on the planet is just a stinker. And isn't it a shame you ran on the wrong planet? The reality is that, and we can feel that way. You know, when I say that, it sounds like either I'm insensitive or, you know, that is ridiculous. And the reality is when we're tired, when we're hurting, when we're frustrated, that's exactly what we do. We personalize it. It must be us or it must be everybody else. And you see, that's what happens with that type of confusion. We personalize it. We leave God out of the mix. And we're not able to see that things can be changed. You know, Jim, wasn't there something called the four-minute mile that people couldn't break that, wasn't it? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, you're exactly right. And I'll think of his name in a moment. When he broke that, it was revolutionary. Nobody had ever run that fast before.
Right. And in auto racing, I mean, people originally presumed that you could not drive a car faster than so many miles per hour. And it was a relatively low number. It was like something like 10 or 20 miles an hour because they said the wind was so strong at that speed that you wouldn't be able to breathe and it would kill you. And, you know, we get in our cars today and we would think ourselves greatly hindered if we were going 10 or 20 miles an hour. And we arrive alive, say. So it's this idea of personalizing it and not realizing that we can have success. You know, Steven Spielberg was rejected by the University of Southern California School for Cinematic Arts multiple times. But he went on to win 3 Academy Awards, 4 Emmys, 7 Daytime Emmys, or Emmys, not enemies. 27 movies have grossed more than $9 billion. I mean, he could be a third world country, but a very successful third world country. Mr. Macy, R.H. Macy, you know, he failed retail ventures time and time again in his early career. You know, he could feel defeated, discouraged, and all those things. But at age 36, he launched R.H. Macy and Company, which grew to become Macy's, which is one of the largest department store chains in the world. That's always special to me. That was one of my early jobs while going through school. You know, there's a man, J.K. Rowling, mm-hmm. single mom. Let me clarify that. There's a woman, J.K. Rowling. More people know this name than I'm pronouncing it. Forgive me. A single mom living off welfare right. when she began writing her first novel titled Harry Potter. She's now internationally renowned for her 7-book series. In fact, in U.S. currency, she became the first billionaire author in 2004. You know, in one of Fred Astaire's first screen tests, you know, and I'm a big Fred Astaire fan, love those old movies, incredible dancer, an executive wrote about him. He says, this man can't sing, can't act, slightly balding, and can dance a little. Now, that makes you feel, that comes from Business Insider, by the way. I thought, now, if you're ever tempted to feel defeated, remember good old Fred Astaire, watch one of his old movies and look at him and say, can't sing, can't act, slightly balding, can't dance. Yeah, I've often wondered, there's actually a song that he sang and danced to, and he has several lines in it, but can't do this, don't ask me, can't do this, don't ask. I'm wondering if he's still going back and remembering that event. I'm saying all these things because I want folks to remember something. Don't measure yourself from your past. Don't measure yourself from what the world says. Measure yourself with the relationship that you have in Jesus Christ. Psalm 32:8 says simply, and let me be honest, it says there's basically no reason to be confused, because the Bible says in Psalm 32:8, God speaking, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. In other words, God is saying, look, I'm the one who's looking out for you. I'm the one who's looking down the road. You know, one of the things I like about driving in an area where you've got hills is because, you know, when you're cresting that hill, you don't know what's on the other side. When you get to the top of the hill and look out, you can see it's clear for miles ahead. And as we go through life, it's real easy. I mean, we're the people going through life, moving up the hill, not knowing what we're going to see at the crest. Whereas God is above us, and he's looking out there with his eye, and he can see, it's okay, child. Don't be scared. Don't be frightened. Come on. It's like God and those great cloud of witnesses are cheering us on if we're being faithful to his word and if we're being faithful to him and trying to walk in his perfect will. So, you know, listen to God when he teaches us. Listen to him. You say, well, I don't hear an audible voice. Funny, you have the word of God printed out in front of you. You know, think of it like a love letter. You know, if you are in love with somebody and you're dating them and they send you a love letter and you send a love letter to them, by the way, married folks, you know, is there a reason you have to stop writing love letters? I've never understood that. Why is it that some couples stop thinking they need to let the other person know how much they're loved after they finally got them a commitment down the aisle? You know, no, that's,
wow, you're right.
That's a real good time to take time to write a love letter. Not an email or a text, by the way, an actual love letter, something they can carry with them on a stormy day and open up and be reminded that, yes, they are loved. Well, the Word of God is a love letter from God to us. It instructs, it corrects, it teaches, and it also lets us know he loves us. And because of that, we can have peace. Jim, how about you sharing what Psalm 119, 165 says and what it means to you?
Could, before I do, Pastor, could I, you just made me remember Burt Reynolds and Clint Eastwood.
Two of our lesser theologians, for those
started.
Who are wondering. Yes, go ahead.
Right. They had gone in to read for a part, and the director was so upset, he says, get out of here. You'll never go anywhere, he told Clint Eastwood, because of that Adam's apple. Get out. And he told Burt Reynolds, get out. You don't know how to act. And Burt Reynolds and Clint Eastwood go on to be superstars. And they are in a movie, you know, many, many years back now, but later than this time. And Burt Reynolds tells the story. He says, I turned to Clint and I said, I don't know what you're going to do about your Adam's apple, but I can always take acting lessons.
Nice touch. Nice touch.
Well, this is Psalm 119. I think that's the longest psalm in the Bible, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Wow. That's strong.
Yeah. And I think understanding that we have access to that peace, is a reminder that we can have confidence, that we don't have to be troubled, we don't live in fear. That's the powerful difference.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, those are the comforting words that God has for us. You know, he doesn't say, you're going to have a hard life, so just get with it. He says, no, take your burden, give it to me, I'll carry it for you. And by the way, it's a journey, so I'll sustain you. You don't have to, you know, when he says he'll never suffer the righteous to move, what he's saying, I'm not going to coerce you into this. I want you to understand you can take your stand and do it with confidence and joy and peace. And as we travel through life, as we move through and we're tempted to feel confused and troubled, Isaiah 43:2 has the answer for that as well. Jim, again, would you share Isaiah 43:2 with our listeners?
When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Pastor, I think that is, it's just so reassuring. And another verse that you had taught us has to do with nothing formed against you will be upheld. Nothing formed against you will stand.
Right.
And I just think it's like he's always watching over us. And the anxiety comes from not remembering to read these scriptures that reinforce our relationship. He loves us so much, he's not going to let that happen. And it just seems like, Pastor, I've shared a situation in my own life not too many months ago, and here we are several months later, and I have seen how what was formed against us didn't stand.
Right.
And it was, I just smiled and said, thank you, God. That is exactly what you told me. And here it is. And it came a lot quicker than I usually, see it. It seems like he wants us to trust him in that period of time before he proves his Bible to us, that it's so that we can reach out and trust.
Mm-hmm. And that is, it's that peace that God gives us. Confusion is not something we needed to live in. You know, we can have peace. How do you have peace and confusion at the same time? You don't. And you say, well, you know, it's just that I don't know what God wants me to do next. I don't know where I'm going to live next month. Maybe my lease is running out and I haven't made a decision yet. You've got to learn to trust God. And he said, yes, but you just, no, got to learn to trust God. And when we are walking in fear, we are not trusting God. You know, we've had floodwaters in a lot of different parts of the South. And understand, at some point, people have to realize, God will get me through this too. You know, I've lived on coastal areas and I have lost, you know, my home on more than one occasion. And what's interesting, you know, I've relocated each time, you know, I've gone to different places. And it's interesting, as I got there, I could see God's hand. I could see him working through other people. I could see him using me in a certain way. You know, we have to start off with the presumption that wherever he deploys us to, that God is not surprised and that he has something in mind, either for people that are going to step forward and help you, or you're going to be able to help people you didn't even know about. Remember, if you're his child, you need to be like the soldier, ready to be deployed wherever you're needed. And so sometimes when you say, why in the world am I having to make this move right now? Well, because maybe you're the one person God feels like he can use to lead another person to Christ or help a family that's going through difficulties. Maybe there's growing you'll do as you move through that process. We need to be ready for that. And you say, well, I'm just worn down. I can't do that. How is God going to use me if I'm at a state where I just can't do it anymore? According to Isaiah 40:29, remember, get back to the Word. Scripture says, He giveth power to the faint. In other words, when you're feeling exhausted and you can't go any further, God is giving the power to strengthen, to refresh, to move you forward. He says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. In other words, that part about sustaining us we talked about earlier, part of that sustaining is to rejuvenate, to give us more strength, to don't let us wear down and just give out. No, refresh us. It's like the runner who's coming around that last part of the track, and suddenly they feel that renewed strength, and they see the finish line. They know they're going to make it. A fresh burst of energy comes on the scene that a moment ago they didn't believe they had, and suddenly they do. You know, you're trying to get through to your teenager, and you're just knowing you're not getting through, and then suddenly they turn around and say something you had said to them weeks before, and they're saying, you know, that's what I need to do. You are right. And you're about to pass out in shock on the floor, but fortunately He has renewed your strength. He's increased you, and you're not going to faint. You got through. You see, that's what happens when we don't use our own wisdom, our own understanding, but we use God's wisdom and God's direction. That's where it begins to happen, and that's where we get that clarity of what I should do next. Jim, clarity, what we do next. Read Isaiah 30:21 for our listeners, and then share from your viewpoint, because you've had moments in your life where you're heading in one direction, but God has had to move you somewhere else. How do you focus in on how God works in those moments?
And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. You know, Pastor, you're exactly right. You've changed my perspective, because as you always do, you keep bringing us back to the Bible. So it's not what you say, it's what the Bible says, and it's indelible. It seems like it is exactly what we need when it occurs. And, you know, one of the excuses you and I hear from time to time is, well, I just don't have time. I've got to be at the office at 6 and I'm working overtime. We got a big problem. I don't have time to study the Bible. And I remember years ago hearing this. I think it was from the pastor in Atlanta, Charles Stanley. I think he says, if you step out in faith and you begin a Bible study and you read every day and spend time with the Lord, He adds time to your schedule. And I remember that each time I have a situation, Pastor, where I need to know, is this the way I walk? Is that the way I walk? And I just don't have time to do that. And then I remember, He'll add time to your schedule. I remember in one place in the Bible, He talks about setting the clock back. The sundial went backwards, and He gave one of His prophets extra time. And so I just see this as there's no excuse. Mm. If you choose not to read God's Word, you're saying, I've got the Library of Congress, Smithsonian Institute. I've got all the wisdom in the universe, but I don't have time to go there. It's so ironic and so ridiculous, but we've all said that and we've all done that. So I think this is a clear message that when you step out in faith and you begin, you start to get in the Bible. What happens? The Bible gets in you, and it is so rewarding. And that's, I'm leaving co-hosting and becoming the pastor. I apologize.
Quite fine. Let me ask you sort of an odd question. How many Bibles do you have?
I think I've got 5. I'm working on 2 of them at the same time. I'm reading the Old Testament in one Bible. That's an international version, which I think you and I share the love for the King James Version. Mm-hmm. And then I've got 2 others. One was the Bible my mom and dad had on the coffee table. You know those big ones.
Right.
What's the purpose of that question? That's interesting. I know it's going somewhere.
It is. You know, for myself, you did better than I. I don't know that I could. I don't know what the number is, to be honest. I used to have an obsession of making sure wherever I was, I had one. I always carried one, but in spite of that, I wanted to have like backup Bibles at different locations. And I was thinking today, you know, I have my physical Bible that I can pick up and flip through the pages. I have an Amazon reader, so I can. I've got two copies of the Bible on there in different formats. So referencing is a little different in the one. They're both same versions, but the way you can access the information is a little different. And I also have an audio Bible on a little digital recorder I always carry with me. I have two main discs on that recorder. And so one of them has the entire MP3 files of the entire Bible. And then I have some apps on my phone where I can access the Bible and do research. My point being is that, you know, in the day and age in which we live, we have access to the Word of God at any moment. And still, what He wants us to do is put it in our hearts. It's nice that we put it in our digital books. It's nice that we put them in our apps, in our phones. He needs it in our hearts. You know, it, when I'm in the most stressful moment that I'm walking in, when somebody sort of springs something on me or a stressful decision suddenly hits me, it's not the digital book that I go to. It's not even the leather-bound one I open up to. It's that verse in my head that God can spring into action and remind me of. If I haven't studied it, if I haven't hid it in my heart, then what's to stop me from making the, we call them mistakes, he calls them sin. You know, what's to stop me unless I've put it in there? And if I want to hear, that's why I love this verse, thy ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. You say, oh, I don't hear those audible voices. Well, then maybe I'm just strange, but when I'm faced with a decision and I'm about to go the wrong way and I suddenly remember a scripture that's telling me pretty much assuredly that, no, that wouldn't be right, that I think of this verse. You hear this word behind you saying. And that's what's going on. The words that we've committed to memory, the scriptures that we've taken in to where, you know, at that moment I rarely hear Isaiah 30:21. But I do hear, you know, walk ye in it. Turn to the right, turn to the left. We get those clear directions. And so understand what he said he would do, he will do. He doesn't do it just for me or just for Jim. He'll do it for you if you name the name of Christ, if he's your Lord and Savior. You know, that's what we have to realize. If he's not your Lord and Savior, and you're saying, yeah, well, I've got the confusion part down pretty good. I know what it is to be confused as I get through this world. Well, guess what? You're not getting out alive. We have to make decisions. We have to choose whether we're going to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or not. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when we do that, verse 7 says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. In other words, you don't have to be confused, but you do have to commit your life to Christ. You do have to have that relationship for this to work. Jim, would you be kind enough to let people know it's not as hard as they think? What do they have to do to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
Absolutely. Pastor, we constantly go to this verse because it helps us. It's also on our website. It helps us remember that it is easy to begin a new life and to give your heart to Christ. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. So easy to remember. Romans 10, 9 and 10. 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And it, you know, Pastor, I don't always mention this, but just drop down a couple of verses. Chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever," and you got to remember, that doesn't leave out anyone, "for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So I think if you've reached that point and your plan isn't working, which it never will, mine didn't work, I dare say the pastor's didn't work, but when you step out in faith and say, "All right, I want to give him a chance. I've heard about it. I've put it off. I'm going to step out in faith." And that's what it is. It's faith. You can't go and prove it mathematically. But when you step out in faith, God is faithful, and he gives you that peace that surpasses understanding. And how to describe that, my pastor may know. Pastor, you may be able to tell him better. But it's hard to explain, but it's that feeling. You know it's right, and you feel the weight of the world off of you, and you feel renewed and refreshed like you've never been before, because this path, God is the author of, and it's infallible. It's perfect. It's exactly what he had planned for your life. Right, Pastor?
Absolutely true. I couldn't have said it better. That's such a comfort to know, and I pray that, you know, if you haven't known the Lord before, you have accepted him tonight, that before you go to sleep tonight, you'll get that matter settled. You don't want confusion in your life. You don't want to have to live in fear and doubt, especially when God has made it clear to us that we can know him as Savior and Lord, that we can have a peace that passes all understanding. You know, if you've been listening tonight, you haven't previously known Christ as Savior, I hope those scriptures that kept talking about you could have peace, you can have trust, you don't have to fear, you can know. I hope those words were words that said to you, "Boy, I wish I had that." Because guess what? It's not a matter of wishing. It's a matter of you can. It's there for you. He died for you. Don't let it be in vain. Come to know him as Savior and Lord. So very thankful for such opportunities. You know, next week, we're going to continue on in this series. And in fact, we'll cover what the Bible teaches regarding what to do when you feel tempted. People sometimes think, "Oh, they've got no choice." Well, no, you do have a choice. The Bible is chock full of choices and opportunities, and God gives you direction. He'll allow you to go away where the temptation is something you can have victory over. And the best way to know how is to get back into the Word of God and find that out for yourself. Jim, we have about a minute. What would you like to share as your closing comments?
Well, Pastor, I'd like to just build on that a second. I remember one scripture. I won't be able to tell you what book it's in, but I know that he says there's not a temptation that's unique to you. And,
oh, yes.
And that temptation, he also provides a way to escape. And so it really puts a weight on you when you're tempted and you remember what he just, you know, what God has said to us, that there's not a temptation that any man or woman has ever had that others haven't had. So it's not unique. You're not the only one feeling that temptation. But then to remember that he always provides a path or a way to escape. And so you get the message real quick. You're tempted. You do not have to fall for it. And doesn't make it easy. Some temptations are just such a test. And I also would like to say, Pastor, when we're tested, it's always like a test in school. It's for the teacher to see how good you remembered the material.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that way with God. He already knows. That test is for you.
That is.
And I just think that is a wonderful way to imagine it.
So very true. And once again, our time is gone. So join us again next week on Ask the Pastor Now.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.